All right.
Well, welcome back. We're ready to get started. We're so grateful. Everybody get to have a little snack. And there was a big line in the men's restroom, but everybody got that taken care of? Yes? Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Well, as we get ready to wind up today with, I think, maybe some of the best so far, after the two of us, of course, I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine. This is David Carlson, and David is not only a friend of mine, he's a longtime friend of Mount Hermon. He has served as a financial counselor and advisor in Christian Camping for well over 20 years, primarily at Forest Home, sister camp of ours, most of you know, down in Southern California. Today, David serves as the president of Christian Trustmaker, as well as Sound Investment Management. He and his wife, Erica, have been married for 25 years, and they have three children. And if you would be so kind, please give David a warm welcome from Mount
Hermon. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Jared.
Right. Good to have you here, David. So this morning, David and I want to introduce you to a really exciting new ministry partnership. When Brian and Dale were sharing, one of the things that many of you responded to as I was standing in the back and I heard the murmurs was the miraculous way God provided $150,000 to remodel those homes. And that, of course, came through a bequest. And as much as we would like to be able to figure out when bequests are going to come, we can't. But God does. And I often have people tell me this, you know, JR, we wish we could do more. And I love that heart. And I just want to tell you, I mean, if you're speaking financially, prayer, of course, is always the biggest gift you can give. But if you're speaking financially, I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to prayerfully consider Mount Hermon in your estate plans. But sadly, one of the things that happens most often in all of our lives is that part of our planning is the one we procrastinate the most. Do I have any company in here besides just Lori and I that have been guilty of that? And the results of that can be very, very tragic. And so many people procrastinate. In fact, there's a huge percentage of people right now, and probably representing this office in this audience right now, David, who don't have a plan. I mean, how bad is it?
Yeah, well, according to, there was a study done by Forbes Magazine and Harris Interactive who found that 65% of adult Americans don't have a basic will. 71% of adult Americans don't have a trust, and 82% don't have a power of attorney.
Wow. So there's clearly a need, and Christian Trustmaker is a tool that I mentioned we're partnering with. We've actually explored this for a couple of years, and it is not only able to help us get past that procrastination, it's able to do it in a Christian way. But what makes a plan Christian?
Well, a Christian plan takes a very deliberate and prayerful approach to asking God, how can I be the best steward of what you've entrusted to me? Scripture tells us that God owns everything, and we encourage people to begin the process in prayer, just as James 1:5 says that if you lack wisdom, you ask God, and he will give it to you if you ask it without reproach, and he'll give it to you abundantly. And a Christian plan also includes a testament. Many people today who have their plans have a last will, but not a last will and testament. A testament is a declaration of our faith, and it's something we've done for centuries. But with Christian Trustmaker, you can include that testament. We have some pre-written ones, or you can write your own. And people are blessed with that because it can encourage your family in their faith as you go to be with the Lord for generations to come. You also can include your favorite scriptures. Mine is 3 John 1:4 that says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth, and that's written in our trust. There may be other scripture that's meaningful to you and your family that you would want to include in your last statement to your family as well. You also can include faith-building activities in your trust as well. Working with Christian Cramps over the years, a lot of people have said, you know, I'd love to include Mount Hermon in my plans to allow my family to continue to go to Mount Hermon so you can actually have that provision in your trust or pay for things like missions trips or church activities that would encourage your family in their faith as well. You can also have your children, who will be the next steward of the resource that you've entrusted them, go through like a Crown Ministry course or a Dave Ramsey course to prepare them to steward the resources as well and have those provisions specifically written in your plans. You can also have a Christian mediator for dispute resolution. I think it was Mark Twain who said, you really don't know your family until you've shared an inheritance. And you can, and if there is, and unfortunately sometimes it does happen, you can have a Christian mediator like Peacemaker Ministries help your family to work through that process toward reconciliation and resolution. Scripture also speaks about the timing of when an inheritance would go to our loved ones. And with Christian Trustmaker, you're guided through the wisdom of God's word as you prayerfully make these decisions, not only with the legal language, but also to pass on a spiritual legacy as well to your family.
You know, it'd be wonderful for me to assume that everyone in this room, because most of us are 50, 55, 60 or beyond, we have this all taken care of, but quite frankly, statistically says that's not true. But the biggest burden on our hearts was our family campers. So many of these families, younger families, that we know, many of your adult children, have nothing, and the risk that their kids are put in because of that. We have a short video to give you a little idea how simple this process is, and then we'll wrap it up.
When it comes to your family, you'd do anything to be sure they're cared for and protected. But what if you're concerned for more than their finances? What if it's important for you to pass on values, wisdom, character, and faith in Jesus Christ? What if you're concerned about making the greatest possible difference in the lives of the people you really care about? That's why we've created ChristianTrustmaker.com. Prayerfully planning your will or trust can be a wonderful act of worship. Christian Trustmaker can help you make a last will, a living trust, a power of attorney for property, and advanced medical directives that reflect what matters most to you. In an easy step-by-step process, you can complete a secure, confidential interview used to prepare your personalized legal documents delivered directly to you. With powerful tools and insights from God's Word, Christian Trustmaker takes the stress and confusion out of one of life's most important priorities. Christian Trustmaker can help you create a plan according to your priorities by eliminating the time and costly expense of probate, reducing taxes while supporting the causes you care about, and most importantly, being sure you, not the courts, decide who will take care of your children. Christian Trustmaker is an affordable planning experience like no other, and can be done on your computer, tablet, smartphone, or wherever is most convenient for you, all in the span of a relaxing coffee break with a friend. So whether you're passionate about protecting your children, reducing how much you'll pay in taxes, supporting the causes you care about, or you just want to update existing plans to better communicate what matters most to you, now you've got a better way to plan. When you decide you want peace of mind today, knowing that your loved ones will be well prepared for tomorrow, think Christian Trustmaker.
As you can see, Christian Trustmaker takes a holistic approach to estate planning. So not only are you passing on a financial inheritance, but also a spiritual inheritance to your loved ones, as it talks about in 1 Peter. For those of you who already have your plans in place, and it's often recommended that you review or even update your plans every 3 to 5 years, you can also update your plans with Christian Trustmaker as well. Typically, to pay an attorney to do a trust for you is somewhere between $2,000 to $5,000. With Christian Trustmaker, you can prepare a will for $99, or you can prepare a trust starting at $389, which also includes a pour-over will as well. Also, you can include power of attorney and advanced health care directives as well. And the great news is that as friends of Mount Hermon, if you sign up today, you'll have the opportunity to get a 30% discount on top of it as well. And through the gracious gift of Mount Hermon as well, for those of you who the Lord leads to, and there's no obligation, but if the Lord leads you to remember Mount Hermon in your plans, all your legal documents will be free as well. If you would like to benefit from this opportunity, you'll see the cards in front of you in your chairs. And at the end of our meeting, we'll be in the back, and you'll have the opportunity to turn these in, and you don't have to pay anything. All you're simply doing is saying, I'd like to sign up and receive a referral code, a personalized referral code that'll be emailed to you to give you the opportunity to get started and to be able to prepare your plans or update your plans, however the Lord would lead you. And I'll be available as well to answer any questions.
David, thank you so much. And for those of us that have adult children or grandchildren, I'd encourage you maybe, if you've got everything taken care of, grab one of these. You might find an appropriate time to share it with them.
I didn't realize how badly I needed these days together. I have a nice corner office that I love. I look out over some redwoods and over the bridge and the chapel. But my office has like a light on it that says, come bring your big problems here. And it's often what's the next challenge and the next issue and the next mountain and the next discouragement. And I forget sometimes of what we've just been witnessing these few days together of the incredible work and power of God. I remember several years ago, after a week of camp here as a family, I wrote a card to our dear friend Roger Williams. Rachel's here. We're so glad you're here, Rachel. And I wrote Roger, and I just saw the burden that he had and the work that he was doing and the staff. And in my letter, I basically said, hey, Rog, don't forget to be a camper. Don't forget to get on a rowboat. Don't forget to get to the pool. Don't forget to go on the train. Don't forget to eat some pancakes at Pancake Ridge. Don't forget to soak in the testimonies at Victory Circle. Don't forget to do a little Zumba out on the field. And I think I've been to the pool twice in 4 years, and I haven't been on a boat, and I haven't been on a train. And I realized that I have not been a camper. And what a tragedy that is when you live at camp. And I thought about that last night. It all hit me last night. I was so moved by last night. I've been moved by today as well. And this morning I went into my office and I closed the door. And I looked, and there was this thing that's been on the back of my door for 4 years that our daughter Aubrey gave to me right after I was told by the Lord and Mount Hermon that we were going to be here. And she drew this. She was a senior in college. And over the years, she's been drawing me pictures to put on the back of my office door. And so as a 21-year-old, she drew this for me. And that's me, Jane, Megan, Aubrey, and her puppy, Noel, Caleb, and our dog, Baxter. The redwoods, and if you can see here, the Mount Hermon symbol. And then on the back of it is a note. And I don't have her permission to share this, but too bad. She's on a camping trip in a tent in Moab right now with her brother, and I couldn't talk to her anyway. Dear Daddy, she still calls me Daddy. I love that. She's 25 now. But she was 21 when she wrote this. And I had just gotten the job. I hadn't come here yet. Dear Daddy, I'm so very proud of you. You are the new director of Mount Hermon! But not because of you seeking this out, but because you waited on the Lord and his plan for the Romberger family's life. I can't wait to spend the summer with you at the Herm, meeting people and living this new life. Here is my challenge for you as you begin this new role. I hope you will always make these priorities. Number one, never lose the joy of weekly pancake breakfast mornings. Even if you don't always eat pancakes, you should wake up early once a week and walk up to the ridge. Number two, take the time to learn the names of summer staff. Even if that is all you know, you will make their summer if you can call them by name. Number three, camp food gets old. Eat it anyway. Number four, find a spot in the woods you can claim for your own prayer spot. Bring a towel or chair and visit regularly. Number five, never be too cool to invest in your staff. Spend time in their elements, even if that's spending a morning holding infants or making conversations 100 feet up redwood trees. Number six, find a weekly time to get away with mom, just the two of you during the summer. Wednesday morning walks on the beach or anything. Make it regular, make it special, and make it non-negotiable, underlined. I love you, Daddy, and I'm so excited for this next chapter in our lives. Love, Aubrey. That's why I keep it on the back of my door. Plus, I love the picture.
Looks like I have a beard, but I love the picture. Oh, is there a banana slug in there? Oh, there is, on the side. I did. I never have seen the banana slug. Thank you, Rachel. Perfect. That's hilarious. Yeah, there it is. So appropriate for Mount Hermon. And a little stream right over here. That's great. We call them Nana Hugs because one little kid once said Nana Hugs, and that's stuck in our family over all these years. This place has meant more to me than any other place. This room, I've shared this many times, is the most important room for me spiritually in the entire world. I've pastored two churches. I've preached in those churches week in and week out. I'm so grateful for those places. But where I got ministered to, where God spoke to me, where God shifted my heart more here than anywhere else by far. And it's such a privilege, I mean a deep privilege, to be tapped on the shoulder from Jane and I both to be here and to have the privilege of leading in this way. I get to lead with some pretty amazing people, executive staff team and other staff. You've met a lot of our staff. You know that we have a great staff here. That's no secret. But also board members and trustees, many of them are in this room. Thank you for coming. They care deeply for you and for this ministry. And they're godly, and they care, and they pray, and they sacrifice, and we pay them nothing. But eternity, they'll get their reward, and they'll have a little circle tree on it, and you can wear it around your neck. But I want to share with you what's on my heart. I want to share with you some behind-the-scenes things, some of the nuts and bolts and practical things, but also bigger picture. And I could really talk for a long time, and I won't, but I'll talk a medium amount of time at least. But I want to pray. So would you bow with me, please, in prayer? Lord, you've given us not just a beautiful weekend, but you've given us your presence this weekend. It's evident that you're here. It's incredible how you can just drive into this place and you can feel your presence, Lord. We know you're here. And we're grateful for that. To hear about the life transformation that takes place here is incredible. And Lord, we're all sitting here and standing here because of that in our own lives, Lord. And so I pray you'd use this time also for whatever purposes that you have, and Lord, for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So our theme this AIM conference is re. If you don't understand what's more behind that, that might not quite resonate, but you've been figuring it out as we've been unpacking that. If you get in your Bible, you will find that the words that start with re are literally some of the most important words in the Word of God. Words like refresh and revive and restore and regenerate, repent, remember, all over the Old Testament. Some of the new, reborn, redeem, rejoice. There's some incredible words with meaning packed deep that start with R-E. And the word that I want us to focus on the most right now is the word renew. Renew. There's a scripture in Revelation 21, verse 5 that says, I am making all things new. It's our verse for the year. It's right here. Our board every year comes up with the verse of the year, and that doesn't just come haphazardly. We think through and pray through and make a decision. What a great theme to come to this place, and Christ is making all things new in the life. It comes from Revelation 21. Where it says, John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the foremost things have passed away. And he who was sealed out of the throne said, on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. That's good news. He's in the work of renewing us from the inside out, and that regularly happens here at Mount Hermon, as we've been hearing about these days together. People sometimes ask me, so what's your vision for Mount Hermon? What's your 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan? And our board will tell you that I'm not wired that way. I'm not wired as a 3, 5, 10-year plan guy. In fact, I have found for me, if I can stay as a leader one step behind the Lord and one step ahead of the people in that niche, God seems to work. And that's what I try to do, which frustrates the planners. But it's worked over the years. But I have vision. I have maybe another way to put that. I have deep-seated beliefs that govern what we do. And three words you hear a lot here are the words refresh, renew, and transform. Those things guide so much of what is in my heart and in the heart of Mount Hermon. And I see this happening at Mount Hermon by us uncompromisingly and passionately preaching God's word, being overtly about Jesus and regularly presenting the good news of the gospel, by seeing lives transformed by Jesus from the inside out, by providing a place where people can be refreshed and renewed from the stresses and hurts and battles of this world, by taking great care of our staff, their housing, their benefits, the work environment, and by providing quality facilities that are inviting where people can come and enjoy at ease and be safe. However we package that as it changes over the years, that's what I want to see happen here. And to help make this a reality, our executive team, 2.5 years ago now, even a little bit longer than that, got together as we formed a new team of us, and we began to consider, where do we need to head? And within literally a 2-day span, we came up with 4 strategic initiatives. And this is how you know that they're of the Lord, because 2.5-plus years later, there still are 4 strategic initiatives. We have not exited one out. We have not added one. All 4 of them dovetail with each other in ways that we didn't even realize. We realized that this was from God. Our board is completely on board with these things as well, and our staff, and we've worked really hard on these, and we still are working on them. And I'm going to share them with you and just give you a teeny bit of update in those things and move on from there. But I think you should know. I mean, you are the prayerful and financial investors of this place. You should know about these things. So the 4 strategic initiatives, number 1 is staff health and care. These are not in particularly order of importance. They're all important. But staff health and care, you've heard a lot about that today, alignment of our ministries, 2nd, 3rd, financial sustainability, and 4th, a comprehensive campaign. All of those things to allow what we talked about right before this of the vision of lives being transformed. And I want to thank our executive team for tireless work the last 2.5+ years on this. J.R., Jeremy Bentley, Nate Peppercorn, Bill Fernald, Brian Hayes, just for a tremendous amount of effort and hard work, and then the other staff that we have that work on these things. Let me just give you a very brief update on these 4 areas. 1st, staff health and care. You've heard a lot about our staff housing. Massive challenge. In fact, I would go on to say, as I've gotten to spend a lot of time with some of the larger camp leaders across America, We have the most challenging situation with that anywhere because of the cost of living here. And so over a year ago, we took 9 guest cabins offline to give them to staff. We already had a lot of cabins given to staff. Now we have this gift from this donor couple to see what's been done even in the last few years for our staff and upgrading their facilities so they're not filled with rats and raccoons in the rafters, and all those things are true. The roofs that don't fall apart and all of that. We've just really spent a lot of time caring for them in those ways. We're very grateful for our staff. The second one, alignment of ministries. This is trying to prune and trim some things to be more focused and strategic. This is very hard to do because everything that happens here, you could say, is good. But we've just said, sometimes maybe we got to just do a bit less and do it stronger and more focused. And so we've been working on that. And I think those are some of our hardest conversations that we've had the last 2.5 years and some changes there. The third is financial sustainability. What does that mean? That means on an average year, with your generosity, approximately, every year is a little different, approximately about $4 million comes into Mount Hermon. And in the past, most all of that had to be used just to keep us going operationally. And what we wanted to get to the point is that we could use that money to take care of our facilities on a regular basis, the depreciation, how it starts to fall apart over time, and then use the rest of it for major projects and some new ministry endeavors. And under Brian's watch and his team and our whole executive team, but in particular Brian and his watch, we've been addressing this in major ways, actually. And We are now in our budget with that $4 million. It's given 1.6 of that million goes now, which it didn't before, to depreciation, meaning upkeep of the facilities on an ongoing basis. From 2016 to the present time, the later 2016 to the present time, we have had an expense reduction of $1.6 million, which is significant. That means we're spending less, which means we've cut some things. And our goal for 2020, by the end of 2020, is to be completely financially sustainable, that by what people do and they pay to come here and all of that, it pays for what we do. And by the end of 2020, we believe that we will be there, which will be a total expense reduction of almost $2.5 million. So this is what this means. So when $4 million is given in a year, let's use that as our example, 1.6 of that will regularly then go to keeping up of our facilities. And 2.4 of that will be for special projects and new ministry endeavors that we weren't able to do before. And I want you to know that we're working hard, that when you give your money, it's really going to be used powerfully for the Lord. And I don't want to say in any way it wasn't in the past. God always has worked powerfully here. But we also believe there's going to be another recession because they come every so many years. And we don't want to get hit hard with that. We want to be prepared financially as much as we can. So that's what we've been doing. And the board of directors and all of this said, here's the one caveat. Here's the one requirement that we give to you staff. And that is that the guest experience must still be strong. It must not suffer. So we've really tried to figure out the balance on that. And I think we're doing pretty good at that. But I'm sure you'll let us know if we're not. So... And I believe even with these reductions, we are actually healthier than weaker, and I'm grateful for it. The fourth initiative is a comprehensive campaign, which is what I want to spend the rest of our time with, as for some of you and a lot of you, this may be the first time you ever hear this because we haven't talked really openly and publicly in a big way about this, and this is not like the big... presentation, but we want you to be aware because you're, again, you're on the inside and you care about us, and I know you want to know the needs and why we've made some of the decisions that we've made. The needs at Mount Hermon, they're vast. We have 4 sites. We have Conference Center, we have Ponderosa, we have Redwood Camp, we have Kidder Creek up to the north. As you know, Ponderosa is 50 years old. That can actually sound young around here at times. Redwood Camp is much older than that. Kidder Creek, you saw a picture. What did we say? Was the word rustic? And Conference Center has its varied, you know, years of facilities and things. Gwyn Lodge has been redone. The Lakeside Lodges have all been redone. They're beautiful. A lot of cabins have been redone, and a lot more to go. But instead of just going bit by bit and project by project, because of the vastness of what we were seeing, we decided to take a much more aggressive approach and say, let's get this whole place, you know, kind of in order, if you will, in those ways, and then we can allow our financial plan of taking care of things regularly to kick in that way. And so we decided to hit all sorts of things at once. We felt an urgency. We thought if we wait even on some of these projects 5 years, 7 years, it's just not going to be good for those facilities. If you look at some of the facilities, you could agree with that. Sometimes you pull up a toilet and you go, oh my goodness, we've got to pull up a whole floor, you know. Or if you go up to Pondy, you know, 50 years is 50 years with a lot of needs and things like that. And, of course, we're redoing a lot of Redwood Camp right now. So we've embraced a comprehensive and aggressive approach to this to get things up to a level that we think are going to help us for the next 25 and 50 years. This does not include building any new buildings. Not building any new buildings. People often ask about this room, and there will be a day when we'll need to redo this room. There will be a day where it'll probably slide off the side of the mountain if we don't, but not yet. And quite honestly, I love this building. So someday when we redo it, we'll do it carefully. All right, but there will be a day. But in the conference center, renovation of lodges, guest cabins, staff housing, various facility upgrades. You saw the thing about the kitchen. All sorts of things are needed to be repaired all the time. Youth and children's camps, facility upgrades at Pondy, Kidder, Redwood, all of them have significant needs, not small needs. Additional to that is we would like to eliminate our debt. That was one of the dreams of Roger Williams, to eliminate our debt. And we've had up to about $6 million of debt. We're less than that now. We're in the 5-point-something range, and we're working our way down with that. We also want to make sure camperships are strong so people can come here. And if they can't afford it, we're going to find a way for them to be here. And you have been very generous with camperships, and we want this to be a part of all of that. And then taking care of our regular annual fund. So it's a 4-year campaign. And it totals, with everything that I've just mentioned, without going into details, $34 million. $34 million. You'd be proud of us. It started at 40, and we got down to 34. And it's the largest campaign in Mount Hermon's history. And we're calling this campaign, get this, Renew. Renew from the inside out. Why renew? Because that's what we're doing to the facilities. We're renewing them from the inside out. It's also what happens in our lives here. We get renewed from the Lord from the inside out. We are actually 1 year into the campaign. You say, what? We actually are 1 year into the campaign. And as we have been slowly working this out, we have been talking to some of our ministry friends this past year. And I am pleased to tell you that as of this date, as of today, in the last year plus the money that we had set aside before, with the total of what has been already given and what has been pledged, committed at this point, is a total of $12,271,563. We praise the Lord. Yeah. We're about a third of the way there. Yeah. A little more than a third of the way there. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Now, I want to share my heart with you with what wakes me up in the morning besides an alarm clock. What gets me going, and if you spend any time with Jane, you will know that this gets her going in the same way, and that is simply this. We want people to meet Jesus. That's what we're about, and that's what this place is about, and I believe it's one of the reasons God called us to be here. This was mentioned by Naomi, but God located Mount Hermon in one of the most influential hubs in the world. You know, I lived in Denver before coming here. I come here, you know, camp here, spoke here, but never lived here. And I knew of the Silicon Valley, of course, and I knew about Apple and Google and all those places. I never fully understood the influence, impact, and if I could say power, that's right here. It's incredible. It is shaping literally the world. In 1906, when this place was founded here, they founded it here for three main reasons. The beauty, they did good with that. God did good with that. They planted all these redwoods and it looks beautiful. Water source, that's why they chose this place as well, and the railroad came here. Easy accessibility. They did not know about a Silicon Valley 113 years ago. No clue. And God decided to put a lighthouse right here in the midst of all these worldwide influencers where they could come here where they might not come to church. And maybe they won't come, but their kids will come. And then something will happen there. And the world gets shaken for Jesus Christ. This place is strategic in ways that we don't even completely know because of how God uses it. I was with Pastor Tim Lundy on Monday. He's the pastor of Venture Church over in Los Gatos. We were having lunch together, and he is recent there. He came back after being gone from there for a while. He's now the senior pastor, took over for Chip Ingram. You probably know who Chip is. And Tim said to me, he goes, I felt a call from God to come to this area because I want to influence the most influential people in the world. Back in November, I got to host a group of camping leaders. The camping leaders of the 10 largest camps in America and ones in Canada, we get together every 6 months. And we take different turns hosting. In November, it was my turn to host. And one of the things we did is we had a connection who got us in with a president over in Google who gave us a behind-the-scenes tour of Google. And they're big, and they are incredibly influential. And here we were, the camping leaders, in this massive place, and they're all just like, whoa. And I'm like, we minister to these people on a regular basis. They come here in different ways and shapes. Beyond that, World Vision brought their world leaders here just a month and a half ago. They brought all of the key leaders from the various countries where they have their hubs, and they came here for 9 days to have their meetings. They came to Mount Hermon to get refreshed and to get taught and to spend time with God. Just a few weeks ago, we had our 50th annual Writers Conference. Writers from all over the country came here, not just locally, all over the country came to be a part of this. These are people writing the Christian books that are going to go out and impact this world. They're coming here to Mount Hermon. Just a few weeks ago, in fact, the day after that the Writers Conference was done, we welcomed in Hume Lake Christian Camp staff. They had their staff retreat here. I get to speak. That was a real treat for me. We've done a few retreats there. We have this wonderful relationship between camps and Hume Lake and Forest Home and Mount Hermon in particular. We're called the three H's, home, you know, Hume and Hermon. And they were here getting refueled. And they have incredible camps for youth and teenagers and children that are just, you know, huge impact. They were coming here to get refreshed and restored. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was with those camping leaders I get with every 6 months. It was our next time. And we were in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we spent an entire morning at the Alliance Defending Freedom organization, which is literally defending Christian rights all over the country. Very impressive. I knew just a little bit about them. And as we're going through the tour, The guy giving us the tour was a guy named Jeff Hoyle. And in the middle of the tour, he says, I'm so glad you guys are here as camping leaders. He goes, my family just had the most profound life-changing experiences of family that we've ever had last Labor Day at Mount Hermon. And then we went to another room, and by video, the president of the organization who couldn't be there, he sent a video and had done a video about in greeting us. And in there, he said to us that one of the divisions of Alliance Defending Freedom, one of the divisions started because of a conversation that happened at Mount Hermon. And I have to admit, in front of all the other camp leaders, I'm like, yeah. None of your camps were mentioned. I just want you to know. No, I did not think that. I'm much holier than that. I would never think that. Okay, I did think that. So I say that not to bring any praise to this place. This is God's place. But he's using this place to have big impact for the kingdom work. This is a spiritually dark area. And what a privilege it is to be a part of this. By the way, that doesn't make it easy. In fact, the challenges here are significant. People say to us, even somebody said to us during the break, you guys get to live here. Amazing. You know, this is a spiritually dark area of the country. And it's very difficult at times to get outside of this bubble of what's around here. We were very cognizant of that when our son was in public high school here. Yeah. So, I have a really big and bold ask of you. I'm just going to come out and ask it because if I don't, I'll always regret it. And you're the people who care the most about this place. You already heard about Redwood Camp. The Brian and Dale show, we should do that. Like instead of improv or something, we should just have you guys family camp every week to do an update. You know. That was really good. And in their humor, what they didn't share is the incredibly difficult journey we've been on with Redwood Camp from day one. Lots of reasons. Rain is a big reason, but there's more than that. And it's just I'll leave it at that, okay? But it's just been a difficult journey from day one with all sorts of different things, getting enough workers, and it's been hard. And we've had lots of hard, difficult conversations trying to figure out what to do. And we literally have had serious conversations about closing down Redwood Camp for the summer because we at points have felt maybe we didn't have any other choice. Until this inspector came and said, well, it's okay if you still have bare studs inside and if you don't have actually a light bulb that's by electricity, but you can do it battery operated and things like that. Until this inspector, as we talked about from Santa Cruz County, the head inspector, by the way, said these things. He said, they're kids. I mean, he really did say that. I reminded of, you remember Tom Baudette, Motel 6 guy? You know, one of his commercials on the radio was like, hey, 5-star or Motel 6, if you turn the light out at night, you can't tell the difference, you know? and that's definitely going to be us. And really, quite honestly, the kids do not care. If they're having a great week, they're just going to fall on those beds and crash. So they really don't care. We will finish them because the parents care. But like maybe we'll just have the parents on the outside. And, oh, look at the beautiful cabins they're going into. And anyway, but we're not out of the woods yet. The building inspector has not yet given the for sure on the temporary occupancy. We're grateful beyond words for Tommy Beadle and his crew coming up to help us in a big way. But we're still not guaranteed. So I ask you, one, pray that God would allow these kids to come. We had a talk on the phone. I had Tommy on speakerphone on my phone. Rick was on the speakerphone on my desk. And then, you know, myself and Brian in the room, we're having this four-way conversation, and one of the things Rick said, chairman of our board, said, it is not an option that those kids not be in camp this summer. Just spoke on behalf of the board. He said, and the board would be the same. He said, he spoke for the board. There is no way we're not having those kids there this summer. And so we made a very difficult decision that we don't even know what the number is. How's that for an appeal? We don't even know what the number is going to be, but we decided we are willing to spend hundreds of thousands of more dollars to get this done. Because what's the other option? Kids aren't there. We also have 50-some summer staff ready to come. And this also is a ministry for them, although they minister. This is about their lives too. And so I have a big ask. Because we've been bringing in the horses and hiring people and doing what we can to get this thing going. But the ask is to prayerfully consider a very significant gift to make this happen. And we want you to pray about it. We are purposefully not taking an offering so that you can spend time with the Lord and pray. And we also hope that by doing that way and not quickly, you'll give way more. No, that just came out of me. I shouldn't have said that. But actually, God does do that with time, right? But really, if you pray about it and God says, that's not what I want you giving your money for, that's fine. This is between you and God. But we want you to know the need. And I wish I could tell you it's going to be 300,000 more. It's going to be 400,000 more. We don't know. But we know it's going to be many hundreds of thousands of dollars. Could we get the money from other sources within our own stuff? We could, but we don't want to use those kind of monies for this. They weren't intended for that. So that's my bold ask. And just pray and ask God, and he'll show you what to do. And you know how to get a hold of us. And you know how to send money, because you do. But we're willing to help in any way. If you have questions about this, we'll answer your questions. We want to be as helpful as possible. And then the plan is get the kids in there for the summer. I believe God's going to work in incredible ways. I just have to believe that this summer is going to be crazy in a spiritual way. And the camp counselors have one more year of going to the bathhouses in the middle of the night, because those toilets will not be ready in those cabins. And then we'll have it all done in the fall. The last thing that I want to say before we pray, and then we're going to do one other thing about Redwood before we close up. And that is, I want to say, on behalf of Jane and myself, on behalf of Rick and the board, on behalf of Ron and the trustees, and all of our staff, thank you. Thank you. When I first came here, my very first week on the job 4 years ago was this week. And I heard so many staff say, you're going to love AIM, because I'd never been. You're going to love AIM. It's our favorite weekend of the year, because all the people who love Mount Hermon so much are here. The people who invest in this, they believe in it. They're here. And it's so true. Jane and I would definitely say that. We love it. And we're so grateful for you. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your financial investment. We don't take it lightly. It means a lot to us. So I want us to do something. We're going to, just a minute or two, we're going to do a dedication for Redwood. And I have some people come up and do that. But before that, I'm going to ask you to stand up and take a hand of somebody across the aisle and all that, your friend in the back, take a hand, stand up. And I'm going to pray and that just that God would move and God would work and God would get us into Redwood Camp this summer and God would provide everything that's needed. Yep, everybody gets a hand. Oh, that looks nice. I feel a little lonely. John, I need your hand. Come on up, John. All right. Lord, we stand before you together as a family who loves you, loves this place, your place, Lord. We want you to be glorified here in every way. And Lord, we never know what's around the corner, but we know you're around the corner. And we trust you. You have provided over and over and over again in ways that have never been known or thought or how it could be done, and you did it, Lord. And we ask for that to be the case again. We rely on you. We trust in you to provide all that's needed for Redwood Camp. Lord, we pray as you prepare these kids and these counselors to come, that you would prepare them, and that, God, you would work in a way that we've never seen before at Redwood Camp this summer, because we know Satan would love to shut that place down. Lord, we pray for our inspector who has been already so helpful, Lord, that he would be a yes from the county, Lord. We pray that that would be the case. And Lord, for Brian and Dale and the team who worked so hard and have had so many headaches and so many issues, Lord, may you give them some hope and may you give them some rest eventually, Lord, as they go through this. And Lord, may they know that they have made an eternal difference because of all their hard work. Lord, we give you thanks and praise, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That's right. You may have a seat. So it was our original intent to take you all down to Redwood Camp for the big dedication. That's not going to happen. It's a mess. So instead, we thought, we're just going to simply thank God here and pray. And what else would be better to do than to do that? I want to thank every person who has been involved with this project and has given finances to it and prayers to it. And we are so grateful for every single gift, no matter the size. And every gift matters for eternity. I do want to mention about one family in particular who has not only given very generously, but on top of that, has been very much involved with some of the plans and the help, and that's the Samuelson family, Jack and Sally and Reed. And Jack's a former board member here, and the input and just the dedication. Here he is, 94, and is urgent to see kids reach for Jesus Christ. And people like them that make such a difference for us, so grateful. So we're going to have some folks come and to pray, to dedicate Redwood Camp. I'm going to call Dick Dosker is going to be first, and then Liz Hammer, who's had a huge impact in her life through Redwood Camp and then serving at Redwood Camp, one of our board members, is going to come. And after that, Naomi's going to come, and then we're going to stop, and I'm going to have a special guest that I'm going to introduce you to do the last prayer. Dick, would you please come? Why don't you ladies come on? Come on up.
Well, would you bow your heads with me and as we look to the Lord in prayer in this amazing opportunity. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great, amazing love for us. It's so comprehensive and so hard to understand how full and majestic it is. Thank you so very much for the history of this wonderful place which you have used. And Redwood Camp was the site of the beginning of so much of this, and we're so very grateful. Thankful for all the people through the years who have given and made possible the arrival of summer staff. And I thank you for all the summer staff that are even here today, some of them, now getting a little older in years and not quite so physically able. And yet we express our gratitude to them for their service through the years, for boys and girls, for young adults. We thank you for Redwood Camp and for all it means in history and for what it is meaning to many, many boys and girls who are currently coming. Thank you for all the wonderful, amazing changes at Redwood, which will enable the ministry to go on for years to come. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for the legacy at Redwood Camp, for the many people who've given their hearts and committed their hearts to you there. God, we claim that this summer for kids, for campers, that this summer there would be kids who would hear about your love for them for the first time. And Lord, I already know of a girl that's coming, but I'm sure there are many that I don't know about. But I want to pray for them right now, for the family, the kids who are coming from families that are not, that don't know you. I pray in particular that the way that we deliver this message would hit home with them, that it would resonate with them, that it would be relevant for them, and that they would understand it in a new way, so that they would commit their hearts and their lives to serving you with all that you've given them. And Jesus, we pray for this staff. Right now, they're thinking about it. They're thinking about coming and what to bring. And, you know, maybe some of them are nervous because they don't know anyone. God, I ask that you would really dial them in, that they would hear your voice, that they would hear your call to be here this summer, that the people who you want would, that you would take down any barriers to them getting here. And Lord, we ask that you would do a work in their life, that they would experience the personal ministry that you're inviting them to, that they would experience Christian community and what the body of Christ is like, and that they would take that back to their hometowns and they would get involved, and that personal ministry would become part of their life. We thank you for the impact that this summer is going to have on lives transformed because of your power.
Heavenly Father, we must agree with the psalmist that writes, "You are great and most worthy of praise. We cannot fathom your greatness. Indeed, one generation will commend your works to the next, telling of your mighty acts." This telling, Lord, this speaking of you, may it continue from one generation to the next at Redwood Camp. We ask for your blessing on the future of this space that you just kissed. It is a sacred place. It is a place that speaks of you and of your greatness. We commit Redwood Camp to you and to the proclamation of the gospel of your greatness and grace through Jesus Christ. May each person, camper, counselor, staff member, may they bear witness to your greatness, and may the future generations declare your mighty acts. In these coming days and weeks, would you give a clear path, and we thank you for clear skies, to aid in the completion of the renewal of Redwood Camp. We are bold to ask for your blessing on all involved with these final days of construction. Give them success, Lord. Open the gates of Redwood Camp to hundreds of eager campers this summer and to the future generation of campers that will receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dick. So the last one who's going to come and pray is a special guy around here. Dylan Bentley, why don't you come on up? Redwood camper. Dylan. Dylan is the son of Jeremy and Sarah Bentley. Jeremy's the VP of programs that you saw earlier. He's the grandson of Roger and Rachel Williams. And he's going to share some thoughts about Redwood Camp, and then he's going to pray as well. Thanks, Dylan.
Hi, my name is Dylan. I am 9 years old, and I've gone to Redwood Camp the past two summers. A few of my favorite things about Redwood Camp are the pool, the flying squirrel, and K-Bar, because my parents send me fun activities to do on my own or share at the cabin. The counselors are also amazing. 2 years ago, I had Crush. He would make up fun games for us to play and was a good encourager, but never forced us to do anything that we didn't want to do. Then last year, I had Monk as my counselor. He was very patient and super good at explaining the Bible. Plus, he was really fun. Both of my counselors were strong examples of Jesus and helped make my camp awesome. Over the last two summers, Redwood has helped me remind me that Jesus is always with me. Jesus loves me and will always invite me back, even if I sin. Having a chance to spend a week at a place like Redwood is so important because it gives kids like me the opportunity to learn about Jesus, to try things we don't get to do at home, and just have fun.
I knew you'd be standing, so I wanted to get a little higher. We want to say thank you. And we've said that many times, but we can't say it too many times. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And I want to thank Mike, but I want to say a couple things that you need to know. You know, if you Google the word leadership, there's tens of thousands of things you can track on to learn that. Rarely do you have an opportunity to see authentic, spirit-filled leadership of integrity. And not just see it, but to feel it. That's what we had. That's what we have. And we can be grateful for. Mike does an excellent job as our leader, sharing with you the burdens that many of our leadership carry. He's mentioned Dale and Brian, and there's so many others. I'll tell you this. There's literally no one on this planet anymore who knows the burden that he carries. Roger's gone. Ed Hayes is gone. Bill Gwynn's gone. He carries it well. He leads from the front. He stands on God's word. And we're grateful to have him. Let's thank Mike.